CBSi in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Hong Kong. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and I also welcome Mark Clifford, former editor of the South China Morning Post, author of the forthcoming book, Today, Hong Kong, Tomorrow, the World, what China's crackdown reveals about its plans to end freedom everywhere. Gentlemen, a story that caught my attention in these last days as I prepared to speak to you. Hong Kong's financial sector faces talent crunch as expats head for the exit. This is Reuters, a great deal of credibility, and the bulk of the story is that you can no longer convince the young bankers that Hong Kong is a city of the future. Gentlemen, this looks like the talent pool is leaving, and what is left is are people who are intimidated. But Gordon, you bring my attention to hamsters. Hamsters are rodents, but you have a point to make about this that I find extremely fresh about Hong Kong resistance. What is it, Gordon?
John, Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong chief executive, has ordered a cull of hamster because there was an instance of some hamsters having COVID-19 in a pet store. This has triggered a massive protest, silent, but nonetheless, throughout Hong Kong society, as people's rush to save their rodents. And really what this illustrates, John, is a defiance of the Hong Kong government. They can't go out and say certain things. They can't do certain things. But when it strikes them, they are willing to take a stance of resistance.
Mark, a good evening to you. I endorse Gordon's interpretation of the defiance, but I also note the younger bankers are no longer taking themselves to Hong Kong for their futures. You've lived in Hong Kong and you observe the people who are still there and the people who have left. Is there a spark of hope left? Certainly defiance suggested, but it also could be the end days defiance. Good evening to you, Mark.
Well, good evening, John, and thank you. Well, I think it's the old story of fear battling greed, and there's a lot of fear right now, probably more over the extremely onerous restrictions. I mean, we mentioned killing hamsters. People probably wonder if they're next, right? There are all sorts of, satirical mocking of the government with the hamsters, but at the end of the day, people are facing lockdowns and quarantines. Carrie Lam, who Gordon mentioned is the chief executive, was heckled along with the former Secretary for Security, John Lee, when they visited a housing estate that's just been locked down for 5 days. They find one case and they just lock things down. And so COVID is a very nice excuse for a government that's trying to lock down its citizens. And I think for the bankers, look, if you can pay them enough money, the young ones at least will stay there enough to get their money and run. But I think people with families have just had enough. And COVID is sort of a nice excuse to say, oh, got to leave kids' school and things. But, it's not a very nice place to live anymore. And then, most bankers, I think, would figure the national security law wouldn't affect them. But it's not nice when newspapers are shut down, unions are disbanded, dozens and dozens of civil society organizations are forced to close. I mean, this is not the city of the future, to your point.
And a puzzle, Gordon, about Hong Kong now, because I've never been there. I've heard wonderful stories about how life was balanced between working and making money, and also the pleasure of being on the island, the super fast subway system, the ability to go to the mainland. Has that all been restricted, Gordon, in your understanding? Are people being watched all the time? Is surveillance constant?
Yes to all the questions, John. Really what's happened is, as Mark has pointed out, the COVID-19 lockdowns, which look very much like the draconian ones in the mainland. And so I think that Carrie Lam has basically been ordered by the liaison office, which is basically Beijing's representative in the territory. Carrie Lam has been ordered to have these extremely strict disease control measures. And that has affected people, as it is everywhere. But I think there's a sense that Carrie Lam is not in charge, that she's really just sort of a puppet for Beijing. And that doesn't help a financial center. Financial centers, we found out, are very fragile places, and they can just pick up and leave. And we're starting to see this with Hong Kong right now.
You have a question for Mark, Gordon.
Mark, As you point out, young professionals do have the ability to go where they want because they are in demand. It seems to me that Hong Kong will remain a financial center, but it'll be like Shenzhen or Shanghai, which is a financial center for China. It will not be the financial center for the region. And that may mean, you know, that people go elsewhere, Tokyo, Taipei, Singapore, whatever. But where do you see this going in terms of Asia's non-China financial centers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think Hong Kong will remain important for flows into China. People like, you know, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, BlackRock are all like still ready to go for China. But, you know, it is hard to displace financial centers. And so, I mean, clearly Singapore is very quietly making a push and seems to be the one that place that's picking up the most traction. I mean, there are not a lot of good alternatives, which has obviously helped Hong Kong. You know, maybe more of this is run out of New York and London. I mean, it'll be very interesting to see if the big get bigger. You know, Tokyo is also very domestically oriented. Seoul is not really that big, pretty domestically oriented. But interesting to see that New York Times has a big editing staff in Seoul now because they can't get the work visas and they don't have the freedom to report from Hong Kong. So that is a very interesting bellwether, I think. I think we're seeing Hong Kong, you know, moving further and further into the China orbit.
Mark, if I understand correctly, Hong Kong's phenomenon of these last years were the real estate prices. I mean, they just kept climbing and people bidding for shoeboxes, but at fantastic prices. Has that changed with people leaving? Are the prices leveling and declining?
Well, I think you're seeing a two-tier market, at least. At the very top, as long as liquidity, you know, the last couple of weeks in the financial markets have been very, very dicey. But as long as liquidity remains high and interest rates are low, you're still going to see the top end continuing to climb because rich Chinese would still rather be in Hong Kong than in a lot of places in China. The lower end of the market, you know, the more ordinary and the less than $1 million, say, there is a lot of softness, a lot of flatness. As we've talked about in previous programs, Hong Kong is suffering a record outflow of population. It's hard to see how housing prices go up when the population is shrinking.
Let me give you some numbers here. This is Reuters. Hong Kong's population declined 1.2% between mid-2020, the beginning of the pandemic, and mid-2021. With more than 75,000 people leaving the city, this is Census and Statistics Department. Since September of 2021, Hong Kong has had 5 months of consecutive net outflow in travel, Immigration Department data shows. Does that comport with your understanding of who's leaving and where?
Oh, absolutely. And I think another point to mention is that Hong Kong has huge infrastructure and infrastructure projects. They're aiming more for a city of substantially larger than the 7.5 million now. So if you're planning for 10 million and all this growth and you're going to 7 million or 6.5 million, you know, you're going to have just a city filled with white elephant projects and the whole economic model changes.
Yes, the vision is Vienna after the crisis of the 20th century, a city built for an empire that becomes a place for coffee and strudel. Gordon, you have a question for Mark.
Mark, I'd like to highlight something that you talked about, and that is displacement. What you have is foreigners starting to leave Hong Kong, but you also have mainland Chinese coming in there. Now, there is a financial center just across the border, which is Shenzhen. Do you think that Shenzhen could lose? You know, normally most people thought, oh, you know, Hong Kong's having a hard time, Shenzhen will gain. But what you said sort of leads me to believe that there's a possibility that actually Hong Kong could gain and Shenzhen could lose. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting thought because people always in Hong Kong have assumed, oh, we have to watch out. These guys are coming. But you know, Hong Kong is so much more developed. And if you're really only going to have one financial center in the Greater Bay Area, it would seem that it's Hong Kong's to lose. I mean, Hong Kong still has international connections that far outstrip anything that Shenzhen could think of for decades, probably.
Mark Clifford, former editor of the South China Morning Post, is the author of the forthcoming, I'm looking forward to it, Mark has promised me we'll speak, Today Hong Kong, Tomorrow the World, What China's Crackdown Reveals About Its Plans to End Freedom Everywhere. Depopulation is in front of us. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.